John Busby with the Culture Buzz, and joining me now is an author I have been so looking forward to share with you folks. Chris Frieswyck is my guest. She has written an incredible thriller, The Ghost Manuscript. And if that isn't an enticing enough title, besides knowing who Chris is, and you will find out in the course of our conversation, one of our regular authors here, one of the best-selling authors when it comes to the world of thrillers in the world, multiple times over, Steve Barry had this to say about Chris's book, Settle Back and Savor This One. Plenty of sizzle and emotional clout, a barrage of breathless, cross-cutting suspense. Oh, my gosh, Chris, I mean...
Are you tired just reading that?
Well, no, I'm excited because, folks, full disclosure, I have not finished reading the book yet, and so I know that Chris will do her job and she will not give us any spoilers, but we're going to find out what the Ghost Manuscript is about. First, I have to tell you, that is a wonderful title.
Thank you very much. It lived initially, had a different working title, and as we got close to actually... having to put an actual title on an actual cover of an actual book, I said, it doesn't, the working title didn't quite get me where I wanted to be, and it wasn't quite as evocative. So I think that we landed on a great title for it. And it has like a multi-layered meaning, as you know, if
yes.
you have dove into the book at all.
Yes, I am just getting there, and it's like, oh gosh, I have to go to work today, so I have to. I can't keep reading.
Oh, I love that.
You have such vivid language in there. The dialogue, the imagery that you create with your writing. I can see why Steve Barry was one of many people to sing your praises. By the way, folks, I'm going to mention this a time or two during our conversation. www.theghostmanuscript.com. That is your gateway to the book. To get more information about Chris Frieswyck, and of course, find out everything else about this. You are a versatile writer. You have just this pantheon of experiences, from essayist to journalist to a magazine story writer to humorist. How did thriller get mixed into this whole thing?
That's a great question. Thank you for asking that. Some might say I just have a really bad case of professional ADD. and my dad always used to say, why can't you just settle down and do one thing? I'm like, well, where's the fun in that? A story grabbed me and it wouldn't leave me alone. That's the total truth about why this book exists. I wasn't planning on writing a novel. I had dabbled in fiction before this, dabble being the operative word. And I enjoyed it, and I love to read. I'm a huge, all writers are readers, so I just have been a reader my whole life. But then I heard a story, and I just, the what if started.
Yeah.
And boy, the next thing I knew, I was working on a book. I should mention that was about 15 years ago.
Some things need time to germinate. This is like a fine wine of thriller books, though.
Can you write me a blurb and say that?
Oh, you bet. I'll jot that one down. Well, give us kind of an overview of the story, because you talk about, when you get into rare books, all of a sudden my mind explodes with that what if thing you just mentioned.
I didn't know... as you mentioned, I'm a journalist. I'm going to digress a little tiny bit here, so please forgive me. As a journalist, one of the things I love about my job is that I'm given permission to dive into these weird little subcultures that most people don't know anything about. And once you start nosing around in them and asking questions and doing interviews, you suddenly see that subculture absolutely everywhere you look because your mind is attuned to it. And I feel like the world is a much bigger, more beautiful, more rich place for me than someone who doesn't do what I do, because I have been given permission to stick my nose into all these weird little corners of the universe that most people never see. So that's sort of what happened when I started doing research about rare book collecting. And it's a weird little subculture that is getting over the 15 years I've been working on this book, rare book collecting has really come into its own, because over that period of time, books have become almost like art again. Physical books have become these sort of beautiful, things, these objects, the objet, if you will, that give people a reading experience that they appreciate in a way that they didn't appreciate 15 years ago because the internet hadn't completely taken over our minds and our brains and our reading. People, as you may or may not know, are going back to books in a way that no one would have ever predicted. They're going back to physical books. Now, personally, as a writer, I don't care where you read me as long as you read me. Like, read me on a billboard, audiobook, iPad, Kindle, paper book. I don't care as long as my words get into your brain somehow.
Perfect.
So the rare book authenticating theme of this book is so it's so interesting to me, and it creates all these different potentials for going forward. So that's the digression. Now you're going to have to remind me what your original question was.
Well, just kind of give us an overview of the story.
Okay, sure. The story is about a woman. Her name is Karis Jones. She is a rare book authenticator for a large auction house based in Boston. And her biggest client is a man named John Harper. He's a billionaire tech mogul who she finds out at the beginning of the book has been confined to an insane asylum. He's lost his marbles. His son has decided to sell the house, the big mansion that he lives in, as well as this enormous collection of rare Dark Age manuscripts from the British Isles. That was the specialty that this billionaire focused on. And my main character, Karis Jones, Karis is a Welsh name, she had helped him amass this huge collection. So when she finds out that her favorite client has been confined and that this collection is going to be sort of sold off to the highest bidder, she's distraught. But her job is to go into this library and authenticate that what is in the catalog that the bidders, the buyers, will be presented with matches exactly what is in the library. In the course of authenticating the library, she is presented with a book, a rare book from the Dark Ages in the British Isles, that is a no catalog. It has no history. It has no provenance. It is completely off the grid. Now, in rare book authenticating and rare book collecting, that's all virtually unheard of. Most of the books that existed and have been located that were from the Dark Ages, especially in the British Isles, from the British Isles, have all been cataloged really quite thoroughly. You can tell from the day they were written until the day they landed in the current owner's hands. There usually is a very clear path, written out path, that shows exactly where that book was.
Provenance is there.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that this book is completely off the grid is completely compelling to her. So she goes in and she meets with this billionaire to find out, you know, what is up with this book. And he tells her that he believes that this, he tells her the provenance of the book as closely as he's been able to piece it back together. But that the provenance isn't what's interesting. What's interesting is what the book says and who wrote the book. He believes that the book was written by the personal priest of the man who would become known as King Arthur. And that it was written contemporaneously with the man's exploits, with the king's exploits. And it leads to the tomb where he's buried, along with a vast treasure from the British people that they gave to him because the Anglo-Saxon hordes were descending down upon the British Isles. And that is how, back in those days, they would keep their wealth safe. They would bury it in the ground, or they would give it to somebody and put it in a tomb. And again, this is all historical fact, except for the King Arthur part. King Arthur is a legend that is based quite largely on some actual real people that lived back in the Dark Ages in the UK, in the British Isles, that that fought back against the Anglo-Saxons when they were first raiding the islands and really inflicting carnage on the people there. So that's my billionaire says to Karis, I will give you not only this book but my entire library if you follow the clues in this book and find that tomb. And then all I ask is that you credit the find to me when you do locate it. And she's like, oh my God, this man is so insane. Why on earth would he give this to me? This is like crazy. But the more she thinks about it, she's like, well, what the heck do I have to lose? You know, I like go on a trip, nose around some artifacts, and I get a priceless Dark Age manuscript library in return. Well, needless to say, she's not the only one looking for this tomb. And that is where mayhem ensues.
Oh, Chris Frieswyck is my guest. KRISFRIESWYCK. She is an incredible writer. You must have just had a great big smile on your face as you were writing this, because you can just tell by your enthusiasm, you were having so much fun developing this story.
It was, and part of the reason that it was so much fun is because as a journalist, I love research. It's just one of my favorite things to do, again, nosing around in all those weird little subcultures and corners of the universe. And it was weird because the more I did research on all the various things that compile the story, I pulled plot elements directly from research that I was conducting on real things, real events that had happened in real history, and theories that people have proffered as far as who was the king, this mythical King Arthur, who was he, who inspired him, why would such a person have been granted such renown that we still speak his name 1,500 years later? There's little clues in history all over the place about this, and it's just super fun to pull it all together. But that's just one aspect of the weird little subcultures I dove into. I mean, there's an aspect of this book that deals with cultural theft and illicit antiquity trade, and a very real way that illicit antiquities make it out of war zones in the Middle East into private collections. And there's this whole narrative around that's all based in fact. We just had a couple of arrests the other day for art collectors who knowingly bought illicit cultural patrimony, which is basically art that belongs with the home country and should never have been taken out of it. So it was fun. It was super fun. The hard part was the writing part, which was why it took me 12 years to get this thing onto the page. Plus, I had, this pesky little full-time job problem.
Details.
Yes.
Chris Frieswyck is my guest. Go to our website, theghostmanuscript.com. theghostmanuscript.com, and you can get yourself connected to her and her book. Go to your local independent bookseller and just say, I heard about Chris Frieswyck's latest book. It's a thriller. It's called The Ghost Manuscript. And if they're sold out, they'll immediately get a copy for you. But by all means, this is a book that you've got to have. With the accolades that Chris has been getting from not only Steve Barry, but so many other writers, so many other sources, that just tells what kind of wondrous adventure you're going to be wandering into, thanks to Chris's incredible research and gift for putting it all together into it sounds like a cliche, a page turner, but it is. It's almost like you can't read the previous page quickly enough to get to the next page, because you're almost stumbling over yourself to get in touch with that story as fast as it goes. It has a cinematic feel too, which I love, because I love it when, well, as I like to say, I wish I could read Braille, and I wish your book was in Braille, because I would like to be able to read it with my fingers so I could close my eyes and let the scenes come to full life in my mind.
Oh, boy, if you could see me right now, you'd see that I'm blushing. I mean, thank you so much for saying that. You are not the only person who said that about it having a cinematic feel. I basically wrote this book by watching the movie that was playing in my head and putting it on the paper. That's kind of the method. Everyone's like, what's your method? Well, that was mine. I was basically just like watching the movie and writing it down. Clearly, the movie changed many times over the years it took me to write this thing, but at the end, it was a very clear idea. I already have the screenplay basically in my head.
Oh, this is going to be wonderful. Folks, I want you to get your copy of The Ghost Manuscript. Go to theghostmanuscript.com. Get connected with Chris Frieswyck. We didn't even get to talk about all the other wonderful things she writes about and everything else. She's an incredible artist, an incredible creative, and she just condenses it all and distills it into this beautiful thriller. It's called The Ghost Manuscript. This is one that needs to be at the top of your reading stack. You will read it quickly, and then you will be shouting from the rooftops about, go get your copy of The Ghost Manuscript. Chris has done it. She's incredible.
Stop.
Well, that's what it's about. Good books like this come along rarely, and this is a fantastic read, folks. Make sure you get connected to Chris Frieswyck's The Ghost Manuscript. Go to the website, theghostmanuscript.com. You can find out all sorts of information, events, media, books, other work. You can contact her. You can stay in touch. Do that, because I have a feeling that hopefully it won't take 15 years, but there's going to be more writing down the road. And when that happens, I promise you, folks, I will have Chris back here on the Culture Buzz. In the meantime, sally forth and enjoy all the praise that people are singing on the Ghost Manuscript, Chris. You have earned every bit of it.
Oh, thank you so much. It was such a pleasure. I'm so humbled by your kind words, and thank you so much for your time today.
My pleasure. Thank you for yours. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.